Welcome to Sovereign Mind Radio Program, and I'm your host, Sonia Barrett, broadcasting from Inner Light Radio and VBS Radio on Wednesday, October 29th, 2008, Matrix Time. Join me each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time as Sovereign Mind explores the nature of the game players, and the strategies in place to hold you spellbound and distracted. Informed guests will bring insight to the silent side of corporations, spiritual concepts, science, and technology, and how they're all being used to influence your choices. We will explore concepts and ideas that will stretch human imagination and potential. We want you to participate by calling in at 310-928-7733 or emailing your questions to innerlightradio@yahoo.com. Well, my voice is a tad bit hoarse. For those of you who are used to hearing my voice, it's probably a little bit deeper today. But anyway, it's a lot better than it was in the last couple of days from the lectures I had done in the Bay Area, but which I'll talk about closer to the end of the show. Anyway, my guest today is Stephen Lewis, which I'm really excited about. He is a world leader in the field of quantum mechanics and energetic balancing. For decades, Stephen Lewis has dedicated his life's work to energetic self-healing and consciousness. Stephen co-wrote the book Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and is featured in the just-published book Peak Vitality. Lewis has earned degrees in homeopathy and acupuncture. Stephen developed the AIM program of energetic balancing, and his work has been endorsed by Dr. Wayne Dyer, featured in the best-selling book Natural Cures, and been written about in Science of Mind magazine. Now Stephen will share his timely message of how each of us can be our own enlightened healer. Stephen has undertaken a vitally important initiative and is offering the AIM program free of charge to all people with the frequency of autism or the frequency of Down syndrome. Again, you are listening to Sovereign Mind live on Inner Light Radio and BBS Radio on Wednesday, October 29th. Stephen Lewis, welcome to Sovereign Mind.
And Sonia, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Well, lots of questions. And I want to say first that it's so interesting. I love the way life works and the energies work, because when people contacted me, it was the right time. It was certainly timing, because I conjured you up. I called you up because of what I was wanting to know and move my body as well to the next level, simply in simplicity. So here you are. So Stephen, would you start by giving us, a definition and of course, just a briefing on AIM. What do these initials actually stand for, and what is the AIM project?
All right, well, that's a big start. AIM stands for All-Inclusive Method, and that in itself tells you nothing. Basically, we at EMC Squared with the AIM program help you heal yourself, which is a big statement, because I think the only recourse we have left in this day and age is healing. That's all that's really left to us. And it is the message of the millennium. I believe that. Now, when I said healing yourself, I don't think anyone in the world can heal you but you. And however, there is a lot of help available in that process of you healing yourself. We use what I call a spiritual or holographic technology. And what it does, very simply, is this, Sonia. It forces you to focus on every individual imbalance you need to heal. Now, that is to say, you need to heal in your consciousness. Now, the link between spirituality and quantum mechanics, very simply, is whatever there is about you exists first in your consciousness and then manifests in your physical particulate world. And if something does exist in your consciousness, it will exist in your physical world in very, very, very short order, unless you heal it in your consciousness. And once you do, once it does manifest, or before it does, if you remove something from your consciousness, it cannot exist in your particulate, your physical, your manifest world. And that's what healing is, as opposed to diagnosing and treating and hopefully curing, which are very good things, but they're not done by you. Healing is always done by you, and we help you. We force you, really, to focus on every imbalance you have, whether it's one you've acquired. For example, you kissed somebody under the mistletoe and acquired something, a little thing on your lip, an imbalance energetically. We can help you, force you to heal that. If you have an imbalance that's hereditary and that may have become active or has not yet become active, you will heal that. In short, there is nothing in the world you cannot heal about yourself. And we help you in that process of healing yourself. And I think it's, you spoke a moment ago about the timeliness of things. I think the time that is a necessity for this is right here and now. I think that more and more people are becoming aware of the need for this because it is happening at warp speed. And so that's why I have not retired. I'm sure old enough. Well, no, there's no doubt about that. I'm a card-carrying geriatric, and I've been very successful in my work. I could afford to. But I cannot do it. The message I've gotten is extremely clear.
And, Absolutely.
That's what we do.
And I see that because what is wonderful is that people are getting an opportunity to understand more about consciousness. And as you said, the fact that all of these things, the imbalances, are really what frequency patterns then in the consciousness is what you're saying? Imprint?
Well, I'm saying even more than that. I mean, you know, I am saying that, take it from the beginning, everything is energy.
Right.
Okay, E does equal MC squared. But that has almost no meaning, pragmatic or practical meaning, because that's all you can say about energy. It is.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any characteristic. It doesn't have any smell or taste, no size, no weight. It doesn't have any time. Energy is always. It doesn't have any space. It is everywhere. It's just this amorphous wave. It is. Or call it the oneness, as which is what Buddha called it. However, we live in a world that's kind of particulate, you know. I mean, you and I are different. We look different. We taste different, and so on and so on. And what is it that takes this energy and forms and shapes and molds it into everything about each of us and everything we look at, for better or for worse? Because there is such a thing as worse, and that is consciousness. And so, and this is really not my work. It is, but it's, you know, it comes from my betters. It comes from people like Niels Bohr, David Bohm. I mean, so many giants. And they are my idols, and let's say my mentors. But this is their work. The question became, if consciousness is what shapes energy into the material world, my question was, then there must be a way of measuring things in consciousness, in units of consciousness. And that's been my work. It's my life's work. And because once you can do that, you can then force people to heal, force them to replace whatever exists in their consciousness that they perceive to be negative by using a higher level of consciousness and removing that which is negative, whether you're removing the frequency of poverty or depression or cancer or heart disease or anything, because everything is shaped by consciousness, individually for each of us and collectively for all of us together.
Now, how well, because of what you said, I mean, I guess I do get the answer to this question, but I was going to ask, how well does AIM work on people who are skeptical? Or it sounds like does it just bypass the surface resistance then?
Their skepticism is not very fundamental. Mm-hmm. Because I don't care what someone says to you or to me, there is something in them, call it an instinct, call it survival, which mm-hmm. is certainly an instinct, that wants to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so they can be naysayers all they want. The essence of them wishes to heal and will focus on healing no matter what they're saying. I mean, mm-hmm. there are examples of there are variants and variables. For example, when I first met my close friend, Michael Beckwith, and he asked me how long it would take for this hereditary or that active imbalance for him to heal each of these things. And I told him roughly, and he said, well, I'll be doing it faster. I said, well, sure, go ahead. Knock yourself out, Michael. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. good attitude. Mm-hmm. Well, he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're ruining my timetable. What are you doing? And he said, my brother, I am taking my spirituality and adding it to your spiritual technology, and this is the result.
Beautiful, so that makes absolute sense.
Well, it makes sense to me, too. I don't know if it made much sense then, but I've come a long way since then. But we mm-hmm. go back quite a ways now.
Right. Well, then I want to ask you now, now that we haven't really discussed that part of it too much in terms of how is this being done in terms of the photograph, because I know you had retrieved a photograph of myself that's on the website, and it was really amazing. I wasn't shocked because I'm familiar with the whole, you know, concept of or possibility or the basic energy readings, but what you told me were things that I innately knew, never spoke about it to anyone, because I didn't want them to be infused and brought completely to the surface. So when you got on the phone and you told me, I mean, I knew it was timing, because I knew I needed to do these certain things now. Would you explain a little bit more about the photograph? My question is, I mean, I understand it to a degree, but what is it then that is really captured in what we call a photograph then? I mean, I know it's obviously picking up would you explain that? I'm not going to try to explain it. I'm just going to have you explain it.
No, of course I'll explain it. You know, when I see this.
So on January the 4th, the people celebrated the historical change. Because nobody wants to live in sorrow, we got to work together for a better tomorrow. We want to see black people and white people come together in peace, love, and harmony. We all want economical stability. We also need social development in our community. I said the year was 1998. The people that had reason to celebrate. Cause on the 9th day of November, the people that gave to we The Honorable Jennifer Smith.
Everybody shut up because of that.
Okay, well, we are back after an interesting experience with technology, but I guess the whole idea is that we're back regardless. And my guest, of course, is Stephen Lewis, who has unfolded quite a bit of information, quite a bit of stirring knowledge, and was in the midst of explaining about the karmic level as far as these hereditary imprints are concerned. That was my question, and he was explaining that. So I'm hoping that he can pick up from there and continue to give us some information in reference to that, if it relates and how it relates.
Well, I'm here. Question away.
Okay, so regarding the karmic level, you were going into that because I'd asked about, you know, how does that relate, the concept of karma in terms of hereditary imprints or however we...
Well, I believe, and this is not anything I can prove, but it's a belief system, that what we bring with us, you can call either hereditary or karma, and they are things we have yet to resolve. And we can heal anything, whether it's acquired or whether it's hereditary or karmic, if you will. But that is our task. And that is what I mean by karma. Now, I don't think there's any such thing as good karma, because karma is what you have to resolve. It manifests, well, here's the process, as I understand it, Sonia. If, going back, let's say, 5 sonias ago, you had some experience that you could not deal with, you couldn't handle, whether it was the fear or the shame or whatever it may be, and you didn't want that in your life, but you didn't confront it, but what you did first, I would say, was you hide it from other people so they can't see it about you. So nothing you want known about you. But that's only partial. Then you hide it from you. Now you've really got it. Now you really get it right. But the problem is, it's still there. And if you don't deal with an emotion that is there within you, it will manifest in some other guise, in some other manner, some other realm. For example, if you have unresolved bitterness, it will normally manifest with the frequency of cancer, and so on and so on and so on. And this is what we must deal with in our lifetimes, because what shapes us is what we bring with us primarily, not what we acquire. And so we can do it. And that is the process of healing. That's healing at a much, much deeper level.
So this sounds like, then, AIM sounds like, it's basically assisting one to move through these, what we call karma then.
That's exactly right, yes.
Yeah, without the old concepts or ideas of dragging it on and suffering for lifetime after lifetime, because that's been the concept.
Well, you have that option.
Yes, you do.
And that's always been known. But you also, I mean, you know, you can speak at any level of these things, Sonia. For example, at a medical level, there's no argument about, do diseases run in families? I mean, that's accepted. Heart disease does, diabetes, cancer, and so on, everything. However, you can break that cycle. You do not have to have it continue and continue. And that is what healing's about. I think that's probably the most salient, vital message of this millennium. But that is healing. And as I said in the beginning, Mm-hmm. You must do the healing, but there are a lot of ways, a lot of types of help you can get in that process. And this is what we do, and we do it in a very simple way. And I only have a couple of contributions to this huge field. One of them is this technology. It forces you to focus on balancing, on healing in consciousness, any specific personal imbalance you may have. There is no need for you to focus. You can't focus on everything. There are 500,000 things in the database. Nobody can deal with 500,000 things. However, maybe of that 500,000, 20 or 30 pertain to you. You will focus on those 20 or 30. Now, kind of causing you to do that is my other contribution. And you will focus only on what pertains to you. Just as I never, ever, ever focus on my ovaries, they are flawless, and you don't focus on your prostate, but you focus on what you need to, and you continue focusing on resolving, on healing that imbalance until you have done so, and then you stop focusing because there's nothing there to focus on. So what I'm saying is, let's say you take an imbalance at 5 or 6 generations old. It doesn't matter. Once you have healed it, if you have a kid, if you have a child, it will not be in you to pass on to that child. That's what healing is.
Mm.
And
wow.
That's what you will do.
Beautiful. Now, can I get off that particular aspect of the road of questioning a little bit? And I wanted to ask, in terms of going through the process then, I noticed, before I even really knew that it had, you know, obviously started, I knew. Because I felt it in my body and I just, you know, I just knew. But there was 1 or 2 days there, I think in the very beginning, probably in the very offset of it, that I had certain aches. I mean, they weren't severe, but it let me know that there was some sort of transition going on in my body. Everybody's experience is different. What can you say in terms of that? I felt that it was obviously some of the areas that, you know, that were being worked on. I think the areas where there was some intensity, where there was a potential for these things to readily, you know, appear. They weren't just latent. They were ready to appear. And that was my sense with my body, is that it went there first.
Well, you know, there's a hierarchy. The first thing you're going to do is heal whatever is most recent, which by definition means that which you've acquired here. But even that is linked to what you can call hereditary or karmic imbalances. Because here's the hypothetical example that will make it a little clearer. Suppose 50 people line up and kiss the hostess Merry Christmas under the mistletoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
49 of them are fine. The 50th one wakes up the next morning. He's got this kind of tingling in his lip, and this little herpes thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That is a commentary on a weakness, a vulnerability in that 50th person's lip. And that is without doubt hereditary. Mm-hmm. And that is what he brought with him. So even what you acquire is impacted by what you bring to the table with you. Now, you're in the easiest phase, and you're finished with that basically now, which is healing what is acquired. Now you begin to heal what you brought with you, and that's where you have your maximum resistance. And the more basic and fundamental it is, the more resistant you are. Healing is either, it can be difficult, it can be easy. It's really contingent upon your personal particular resistance.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not resisting, you walk through it. If you are, you have to slog through every step. But again, that's individual. That's you.
Right.
It's tougher for men often than women for a very simple reason. They really don't, as a group, like facing emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no hereditary imbalance that does not have its accompanying emotional imbalance. And it's one by definition, it's you just don't want to feel or face. Otherwise, you would have done so long ago.
Hmm. Interesting. Makes perfect sense once again to me. Now.
Well, I'm glad because it's something you either you get or you don't.
That's true.
Nobody can really explain it. It's like something in you must resonate with the entire idea.
Oh, yeah.
Or not.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I just so got it. And I knew and felt and, yes, got in touch with basically any and everything and just surrendered to transitioning through all of it.
In your audience and our audience, there'll be two fundamental reactions.
Mm-hmm.
One is people saying, what gibberish, and turn it off. And the others saying, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you find that to be the case?
Absolutely. Because as I've always said, I don't convince anyone. It's either you are going to get it and you do your best to explain, or you're not going to at this time because there's the resistance there. So, but what I want to ask you too, Stephen, is now, what role then, because this is a huge thing, what role does diet then play in all of this? Because, you know, you have, you know, people who are vegan, people who are non-meat eaters, you've got raw foodists, you've got all these different categories because people are trying to heal themselves in the way that they've understood how to heal themselves. So in going through this process, what, and I know where you're going with this, but I want you to say it to the audience.
I'll be glad to. If you ask me anything, and the worst that can happen is I'll say, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I've said many, many times in my life. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't advocate any particular diet. I'm not a vegan. I'm not a vegetarian. You know, I mean, I'm a carnivore. However, you have the obligation and responsibility to live intelligently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's a distinct difference between having a glass of wine with dinner and drinking 2/5 of bourbon. Okay?
I would say.
Now, and so one is living irresponsibly and unintelligently, and the other is not. Rather than having any system you adhere to. And I'm not condemning that, you know. I mean, I'm familiar with Reiki and all these things, and that's your choice. But you do have the obligation, responsibility to live intelligently, to not eat utterly moronically, to not just veg out on the couch and never exercise, and on and on. This is something that's just fundamental. It's common sense.
Yeah, but so it's balanced.
It's just a small part of the story because there are people whose diet is impeccable and who try and exercise and who meditate and this and that, and some of them may die at the age of 30 of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others who die at the age of 104 in a bar fight.
Mm-hmm.
And the distinction, the difference is what you bring with you. This is the age where we return to healing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not new. It's we have forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing here that's new. It is simply remembering that which we've forgotten.
Absolutely. Yes. Wonderful. This is just great information going out over the airwaves. I'm just thrilled. Now, there was another thing that you had said to me in terms of of course, you know, we know about biowarfare, but in terms of the what something that I had come in contact with, which you said it was the entire population, I guess, wherever I was at the time, and I picked up that, a chemical frequency, or whatever it is, in my body. Now, in terms of going through AIM, I mean, how then is our body more, is our immune system then, our immune support that is resistant to much of this, or how will that assist then at that point?
Well, whatever you need to heal, whether it's hereditary or it's acquired, you will heal. If the frequency, you may heal it anyway, but if the frequency is on the AIM program, you will choose it. and focus on healing the balancing frequency for whatever it may be. And there is a very sad reality that we live in an age where technology can create disease or poison or toxin. And this is part of what we consider to be warfare these days. You know, I mean, at one point in time, it was spears.
Right.
Nobody bothers with them anymore. They're not real effective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, there's a deeper question, and that is about technology itself. I believe it is imperative that technology be in the service of spirituality, because otherwise, just plain technology is nothing but a cannibal. And if you have a cannibal staying in your house, aren't you worried about what that cannibal's going to have for dinner?
Absolutely.
So that is the reality. But, you know, you can heal anything. And this is just a manifestation of it. Sure, I find what I consider to be man-made imbalances in consciousness. And I check every morning, as I said earlier to you, I check frequencies in Las Vegas, because I live here. I check Los Angeles. I check New York. I check London. I check Sydney, Australia. And I look to see what imbalances exist, above all, that are new, that are not on the AIM program. And I get them on right away, so that anybody on the program will, if they have that imbalance, whether it occurs in nature or is man-made, that's not relevant. What's relevant is you heal whatever it is you need to heal. I think it's abhorrent that we've reached the point where there are technologies to make diseases. But what is.
I mean,
it's all changed, and it's changing right now because, you know, the line between those who said, yes, we must heal ourselves, and those who say, that's gibberish, once again, that line was a fine line at one point. It's not so fine, it's huge. It's a canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And you can readily see who acknowledges that's the case and who just says, that makes no sense to me at all. And I think that healing is beyond necessary at this point. And I think that it's always, this is a condensate. It's a revolution in evolution. Evolution proceeds at a given rate. When it just shoots up at warp speed, that's a revolution. And in any revolution, there is attrition. And the point is, we're going to have to choose a path of higher consciousness. And healing is done with consciousness. Treatment, curing, is not a question of consciousness. It's simply technology. You know, whether you're burning something out, or you're poisoning it out, or you're whatever it may be, but healing is done with consciousness. It always has been. And this is not new information. I mean, just the concept of the hologram, we're all part of one hologram. We're in this together. That's the basic message of being in the oneness of Buddha. And it's the same message when Jesus Christ said, what you do to the least of mine, you do to me. Now, if you perceive and live according to your connection with everything and everyone in the universe, you're going to have a whole bunch of churches named after you. And you should.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we call an ascendant master, or being quantumly conscious. Make sense?
Love it. Love it. Love it. I get all excited about, you know, because this is everything that that I speak about and that I know to be true. This is why I was so excited to have you on the show.
I'm preaching to the choir. I know that.
Well, no. Please continue to preach. It just reinforces. And you know, you never know enough. You can never. It's just not possible.
Nope. There's always more.
There's always more. That's what fascinates me, is every day I realize how much I don't know. But now, if you're on the program for, you know, a year, now, do you suggest, let me rephrase that. It's not a matter of suggesting. But to continue to do this according to what you're feeling, or after a year and one's life force is raised, you know, do you need to continue to check as you do for the frequencies, the new frequencies that have been added to our environment?
Well, at that level, you may, but that's a question of man's insanity. But and that's you're speaking about biological warfare and all that. But
right.
Aside from that, there are many, 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 many thousands who would never get off the program simply because there's a hierarchy. First, you deal with, as you have just done, what you've acquired. You have no acquired imbalances now, Sonia, unless you've gotten them in the last day or so.
Mm-hmm.
If you've had something for 20 years, it's gone. You healed it. Then you deal with what you brought with you. This is far, far, far deeper, and that will take a year or so.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then when you say your life force is 100, then you proceed to the deepest level. And that is a level that you proceed to if you choose to, because it's not about survival in the same sense. That is what you can only call the level of your soul, the abyss within each of us that allowed these vulnerabilities to occur, be created. And healing your soul, there is no end. There is no end.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, you know, just as you heal yourself, things that are acquired or that are hereditary, in terms of healing your soul, you heal yourself because you choose to, but the way you do so is somewhat different. That, call it an abyss within each of us, that cannot be healed other than by filling it with everyone and everything in the universe until you make no distinction between you and others. And you understand we're in this together. If you ever reach that absolute point, you are going to be an ascended master. You are, and I'm not. You know, I'm a work in progress.
In progress.
Yeah, in process, as everyone is that I know.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
You know, you've got to aspire to something.
You have to.
There's no end to consciousness. There's no reason to say that when someone like Buddha or whoever woke up in the morning, by the end of the day, he wasn't more conscious than he was when he woke up. I don't think there is an end to consciousness, because everything is energy shaped by consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely powerful. Stephen, I understand that you offer a free AIM scholarship to any child with the frequency of autism or the frequency of Down syndrome.
You're so affected with that. But it's a good story with that. Do I have a moment to tell you?
Sure.
Well, there are people whom I see as spiritual leaders in our society who are involved with the AIM program. And very simply, I've said to these people, like Wayne Dyer, like Michael Beckwith, and others, look, you know, if you see someone, this is not an expensive program, but if you see someone who simply can't afford it and you know they need it, not a problem. Just give them a Wayne Dyer or Michael Beckwith scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, not just because they want it to be free, but because you feel that, you know, that's the only way they can do it. And I'm not going to question it other than say, so what is it you'd like me to look at?
Mm-hmm.
And one of these was a little girl that met Wayne Dyer, and she was autistic. So Wayne called me and said, Steve, see if you can figure out just what is this autism stuff? Well, it's a syndrome. It's not one thing. Like measles is one thing. You know what I mean?
Autism
is a spectrum. And so I did. I looked, and I found in this child two hereditary imbalances that were part of this overall autistic frequency. And so I added them to the AIM program, and then I forgot about it because I wasn't thinking much about autism. It wasn't in my consciousness. And until about, 6 months or so later, when the little girl's parents called and said, you know, my child is no longer autistic. I said, great. But what I didn't know was we had hundreds of autistic kids and people on the AIM program before this. And they began to call so that our phones were just flooded. I went, great. At one point, I was speaking in Melbourne, Australia. And I've told this to many people. And it was a question and answer period, which is what I like most. And a little girl walked up and said, may I thank you Well, I'm not a fool. I mean, anyone can thank me. I kind of like it. But, you know, I mean, you know, my mama didn't. But I said, sure, but thank me for what? She said, well, I couldn't have thanked you a year ago. I was autistic. Now I'm not.
Mm.
Well, that ruined my talk because I got all choked up. And Eileen started to sob. And the audience was there gulping. Only one who was coherent in the whole place was this little girl.
Mm.
I said, my God, if I am this blessed to be able to help people this way, this is why I am blessed. So I said, look, let's make it simple. We have so many letters from people who said they were autistic or their kids were autistic and now they're not. Let's just make it simple. Anyone whom I find has that frequency, the program's free.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's a minor, their parents have to sign saying, yeah, I give my permission.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no charge.
Mm-hmm.
And we are, now it's thousands, we're flooded with them. Good. We can build more AIM units. And then I was getting letters about what had happened to people with Down syndrome. I mean, and originally I said, no, I don't think we can deal with that because it's structural. You can look at their faces, their bodies. And so I said that publicly, and the letters came in. Well, you should see my daughter. Her face has changed its shape. Her body has changed. Her glasses don't fit. They're much too big. She's becoming leaner, narrower, and on and on and on. I said, bingo. Anyone who has that, it's free. Now, that's not nearly as prevalent as autism, but we've achieved. We have all these letters saying, fantastic. And on and on and on. And there'll be more things. I need to be certain about them.
Right.
I mean, something simple like a disease frequency, you're going to heal it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you are so, so, so weak.
Mm-hmm.
That you're not going to heal anything.
Right. What I think, what is fascinating is what you were saying also about, or the letters that you got in terms of the, even the facial structures changing, because I sense that that is probably going on anyway in all of us. I think as we shift, as we go through this, this change and these diseases are no longer there because they're all defining this, I mean, on some level, certain aspects of our body, of our configuration, our physical body. It's just that maybe because it's not so obvious in terms of how we look that we might not notice it right off the bat. But I would imagine, I get a sense that there's still physical changes that will go on with us physically because of that.
Without doubt, absolutely.
Yeah. And also in terms of balancing frequencies for non-physical areas of one's life, such as relationships and money. Could you speak on that a little bit?
Well, yes, absolutely, because if I don't just say disease, I say an imbalance. I mean, there is no germ to speak of associated with, let's see, say, profound depression, despair. But it's real, it's palpable, and it has a frequency. And you can heal that frequency. The same is true for a need for poverty, a belief that you cannot succeed, and on and on. These are imbalances. Everything is an imbalance. Everything is a frequency. And there's nothing you cannot heal. And anything hereditary, I spoke about it earlier. I mentioned it. For example, if you have the frequency of both hereditary cancer, you have the frequency of unresolved, unconscious bitterness. And the two will come to the surface and be healed at the same time. When I first took the frequency of every kind of cancer in the database, which is every kind known, plus a couple of hundred that are not known, When I bonded them to a frequency to force, this is a long story, but I'll make it short, to force this unresolved, unconscious bitterness into consciousness, into right to the surface, the phones went crazy again. Everyone calling up saying, why do I feel so bitter? And, you know, our staff was instructed to tell them, You feel bitter because you're bitter. Now you know it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And it wasn't one of those ingrates who thought it was beautiful. But then they no longer felt bitter, and the frequency of their hereditary and active cancer, they healed far, far, far faster than people ever have.
Wow.
And so that became part of what we do, was anything hereditary. What created this? Whether it's bitterness, whether it's fear, whether it's insanity, whatever it is, whatever created it is dealt with specifically simultaneously.
Well, and also,
there simply are no accidents.
Absolutely. Everything is tied to something. So also with physical, I think physical items, is this property? I don't remember. I thought I saw that.
Yeah, you did. And I can't talk to you too much about that.
Okay.
It started with people saying, I want my house on the AIM program. Now, I cannot measure a house in terms of its imbalances. I mean, other than I could say, yeah, there's some fungus, fungal frequency, but that's not what they're talking about. And so I said, well, you want to put it on? Well, you can. But, you know, I'm not here to say you can't. And they did, and then all the letters were coming in. The change in my property, and on and on. Finally, I put my house on. What am I doing? I still don't know. I mean, with plants, it's obvious, because plants are obviously conscious.
Right.
And, Michael Becker, I think I told you the story, took pictures of all the little Beckers, and there's lots of them. All the Beckers, whole family, in his backyard by this particular shrub that's part of a hedge. And so there's maybe 30 or so pictures of this shrub on the AIM program, inadvertently, because there's a person in each picture,
right,
or a dog or a cat or whatever. And he said, he called me, he said, we got to put the rest of my backyard on. Well, I said, because this bush is huge and thick and lush, and the others are normal, but they look like stunted little dwarves
next to that bush.
So he sent me a picture of the whole thing, and we put it on.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's a plant. That is easier to understand than the entity called a house.
But brick and mortar.
Are still, they are, they have frequencies in consciousness. Everything is consciousness.
Now, is that possibly tied then? I mean, yes, because there are frequencies in consciousness, but is it possible that that could be tied to perhaps those, maybe the consciousness of those who either were part of that property before, owned the house before, built the house before? I mean, could it be any of those kinds of attachments that are, you know?
Yeah, sure, it could be. I mean, isn't that why people, whom we will call New Age people, when they move into a new place, they use sage
they
and this
smudge
and
it.
I mean, because, there are existing vibrations within that house, frequencies within that house that you may not want there when you live there. And so you make an effort to remove them.
So that could be what's stunting then, whatever stunting is, but part of whatever stunting process that a person may feel about their property.
Precisely so. I mean, this is in the realm of that huge, the biggest part of me, which is stuff I don't know about.
Right.
That's what most things are. You know, but little by little, there's more and more, it reveals itself, is revealed to me.
What are the EMC to goal cards?
It's just another reminder.
Okay.
And this came from Roberta, who in the book is Jennifer, by the way. The book being Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. And, at some point I can give you the toll-free number and the websites and all that.
Right.
But she wanted a reminder of things that she wanted for herself in life. And so she wrote them out on these are my goals, and put them where she sees them every day. and puts, perhaps carries them in her wallet, whatever it may be. And it is a tool. Everything's a tool. It's a tool to help her focus on that and not forget it. We seem to have very short attention spans, and we need reminders. But, you know, isn't that what homeopathy is? I mean, you've seen, everyone's seen guys who look a lot more dignified than I get up on television, you know, wearing their three-piece suit, whatever, me, or a white gown, saying, I have looked at this homeopathic tincture, and I'm very sorry to tell you that it's nothing but alcohol and some water. And, you know, you've seen it. We've all seen it. And you know what? They're right, except for one thing. That's all it is that they can measure. Because when you take something that's above Avogadro's number, there are no molecules left in it, so you can't examine it and find anything molecularly. But what is in there is memory. And Hahnemann himself said, this is the memory in water. And you are, when you take a homeopathic remedy, you're taking some drops or whatever it is of, hey, remember to heal this. And then you do it, and you're doing it, and it doesn't last long. You go, hey, dummy, take some more. Ah, oh, I remember. And until you remember enough that you do heal it. And that's what homeopathy is. And they're never going to find it.
Right.
And yet, how many testimonials are there to the power of homeopathy? But homeopathy is an art form. And it's great. And I have a degree in homeopathy. It's one of my degrees.
Right.
And I got a box full of them, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't. They're all just things, you know, tools. But that's what homeopathy is, and it's extraordinary. Its limitation is homeopath works with one person at a time, and then the next person comes in. This memory of the AIM program, if there were 10 million people on, they would each one would choose whatever imbalance he needed to heal, irrespective of what all or any of the other 10 million had to choose. That is the difference, and it's a major difference, because we've reached a point where the entire planet desperately needs to heal.
Now, I have a question from Dr. J. Is there such a thing as karmic residue, which I think you probably, you already kind of went through, but...
Yeah, that, what you call karmic residue, is what I call hereditary disease frequencies. Absolutely so. And you must heal it. That's why I said, you don't get like bonus points or cookies or whatever for your good deeds. You know, I mean, it's karma, but to me, by definition, is what you have not yet resolved that you must resolve. And the event doesn't matter. It's the emotion. I mean, if some emotion was created when you were a knight on horseback in a tournament, what are you going to do? Go relive that event? Are you going to go set up a tournament and buy and go to Armor as Us and get your lance? I mean, you know, where are you going to go? Central casting? It's the emotion. It's the feeling, the emotion that you could not deal with, that you must resolve. The actual setting of it, whether it occurred when you were in the U.S. or in Poland or in wherever, does not matter. It is that which you cannot face, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whatever it is. That's what you must resolve.
And then, of course, this, I imagine, is going to make a difference, Stephen, in terms of the people then that we begin to have in our lives. I would imagine if you're shifting, that's going to create probably a whole different concept of reality anyway that you've created. Would you say?
Well, yeah. I mean, suppose, is there a difference in you dealing with everyone from a place of unresolved, unconscious, call it past life, anger or fear, than you dealing with everyone and anyone from a place of being here now, not back there then.
Absolutely.
It changes every aspect of your life, your relationships. It will change your economics because you are overlaying the moment with the past. If you can't learn to love your past, you can't leave it. So you're destined to spend your whole life basically back there then. And I think I've never seen a self-help book that said, the object is to be back there then. I think they all say, be here now.
Right.
Well,
absolutely.
To be here now, you have to get past there then.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the situation. A lot of people are back there.
Well, it's an individual task.
Right, it is.
Can I give the, I don't know how much time we have, so can I give the,
yeah, you can give it out. I have one more question that I want to ask you. But,
oh, go ahead.
This was a comment in the book, and to some degree we already kind of went over that, but I just thought this was real interesting. And it had to do with where Jennifer is being tested, and it was mentioned that, you know, she was constipated. She had constipation. And the comment was that it was tied into why her teeth were crooked. And I think that sort of goes back to the whole thing, as we were talking about before, with the shifting of, you know, the actual structure of the body then.
Well, those crooked teeth, as a matter of fact, it has its parallel in medicine. If you look up Hutchinson's teeth, it's caused by hereditary syphilis, which is one of the most common of all hereditary diseases. And yes, that's quite common. And you know, there's a lot of orthodontists who make a terrific living from that.
So it's just the teeth that are being straightened, but the actual
cause is not being touched. As we know, that's the most external manifestation.
It's also
what's happening in your brain and your joints and here and there and there and everything, and blindness and deafness. So, yeah, there's more.
All right. Wow, this has been just an amazing, amazing show for me, and I'm sure for the audience. But, yes, Stephen, if you would go ahead and give all of your contact information, any events, wherever you're going to be, whatever you can provide.
Well, where I'm going to be, and I don't even know it offhand, I don't travel the way I used to because I said, look, I'm the only one doing this, and I spoke to Wayne, I spoke to Michael Becker, I said, you know, you tell people about me and let me do what I need to do, my research. And so I don't travel, you know, like I used to. But wherever I'm going to be and whatever is happening, whatever is current, there's a lot that's current, is on the website, which is, it's all the same, energeticmatrix.com or aimprogram.com. Or if you want information, you can call our toll-free number, which is 877-500-3622. We'll send you out whatever you want. And or if you want someone to talk to, whatever you want, we'll do it, you know, whatever be available. But I think the website has tons of relevant information because it's not just it's not static. It changes all the time. As I have new revelations, as I find new things, I try and communicate that to our facilitators and on the website. And again, that's aimprogram.com or energeticmatrix.com. Or 877-500-3622.
Sounds good. And also, I just want to say to the audience that there are even family plans, so the individual and also the entire family can be part of this the way it's structured.
Yeah, we're trying to get people on because people need this. The planet isn't doing so well. You may have noticed.
You said the plan isn't doing so well?
That's right.
Oh.
And, you know, I believe this program is a miracle. I'm not a miracle. I've lived with me over 70 years. I'm absolutely certain I'm not a miracle. But this is a miracle. Miracles come when they're needed, not
right.
before, and they would be inappropriate, not afterwards. They'd be obsolete. But
right.
when they're needed. And I am simply the custodian of this particular miracle.
And I agree with you. This definitely is. It's the age of simplicity for those who are ready to do that and to understand and make changes. But Stephen Lewis, I would like to thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm looking forward to having you back, especially after my year. I've gone through my year. I know it's going
to
be phenomenal.
Yeah, I'd love to, because that's what's really fun. You talk
yeah.
about the differences.
Yeah, because I'm experiencing that right now as well, and this is just the beginning stages of the second level anyway. So thank you so much, Stephen, and again, continue to do what you do, and I will ask you to come back at another time.
And I accept.
All right,
thanks
great.
For having me on, Sonia.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Bye-bye now. All right, bye. Now, before we hang up, before we get off air, I just wanted to say that, remind anybody who doesn't know about the memory lecture that I will be doing on the 8th of November in Los Angeles for those of you who would be interested in attending. And that's going to be, the topics are Ascension of the Soul, Moving Beyond Destiny and Fate, Immortality, Manifestation 2012, Another Code to the Ending and Beginning of a New Cycle in the Matrix, and Morphing into Your More Expansive Self While in the Matrix, which is a challenge. So for those of you who are interested, please, you may go to my website at www.spiritinform.com and to find out more about that. You may also visit my website, www.sovereignmindradio.com, and join me next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. And remember that the power to be a sovereign mind, a free mind, lies within you. Join me.
Everybody, put your hands together right here.
You say that you